Well, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning with you. We appreciate you coming. I know Brother Ike does. We pray the Lord bless you for having come this way, and I think that it would be hard not to be blessed. Amen. What a joy we had yesterday at Brother Ike's birthday celebration. Had such a good time, and just, more food than the army could eat, I believe, and it was wonderful. His sister, and I believe it's the one sitting back there, had everybody write down a comment to have something to say about Brother Ike, and she read them, and there were many, many of them, and they were all, as far as I'm concerned, right on the money and true and sweet, and in my opinion, he's the world's greatest pastor. I know there are many good pastors in the world, but and I'm not just saying that because he's here. I actually do believe it, that he is the world's greatest pastor, and I'm proud that he is my pastor. And I love him dearly, and I love his family dearly. Amen. Having said that, please do not hold anything I say against him. Because you laugh. But what I'm going to preach today is sure to make some of you mad. And that's not my intent. My intent is to preach the Word of God. What man says means little to me unless it's against my God. And then that angers me. Paul said, "Be ye angry, and sin not." Now, some people think that he said in that verse, "Don't get angry." He did not. He commanded people to get angry. But don't you let that anger get the best of you. And there's a time when God's people should be angry. There's a time when God's people should be sad. And I'm going to preach to you today out of the book of Hosea, chapter number 8. If you want to find Hosea, find the three major prophets after the book of Psalms. You'll find Isaiah, very large book. You'll find Jeremiah, a little tiny book, Lamentations, also written by Jeremiah. You'll find the book of Ezekiel, then you'll find the book of Daniel, and you'll find the book of Hosea right after Daniel. Hosea chapter number 8. Now, the purpose of my message today is to call God's people to repentance. Now, there are several types of repentance that we understand in the Bible. The first that we should be concerned about is what I would call personal repentance. The word repentance in the Bible means to have a change of mind. We associate it with having a change of behavior, but the reality is, my brothers and sisters, man cannot change his behavior. He is a sinner by nature, he's a sinner by birth, and he's a sinner because he loves it, and he likes it, and he practices it. The only thing ever change a man's behavior, son, is the act of God.
Amen.
And what gets God involved in your behavior is the act of repentance, which is to have a change of mind. The Greek word is metanoia. It means change mind, from which we get the word metamorphosis. A man's going to have to change his mind about God. He's going to have to change his mind about himself, amen. Yeah. And based upon that, God will move into his life and he'll change his experience, and that's the only thing that ever change a man, amen. Were it not so, I'd still be the same man that I was 43 years ago before God saved me. But also in the Bible, we find what I call patriotic repentance. That is where the people of God weep and mourn for the state of their nation that brings them together as a people to fall on their faces before God and say, "God, help our people."
Yes.
Now, Jeremiah put it this way. I'll say Isaiah first. Here's what he said in Isaiah chapter 6. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips." Jeremiah put it this way, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. "Oh, that my head were waters, and oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I should weep day and night for the hurt of the daughter of my people." He said, "Oh, that there was a lodging place for a wayfaring man that I could go." And here's what he said, "For all my people are adulterers and have turned their backs upon God." Now that, my friend, is what I call intercessory, patriotic, penitent repentance. Amen. And it is the people of God that will make a difference,
yes,
dear
sir.
Friend. And I want to tell you something. Benjamin Franklin said that people get the government that they deserve. He also said any nation that gives up its liberty for security deserves neither. And we're living in a time when our liberty is being taken from us every moment of this day. Now, there are three offices that were ordained by God in the Old Testament. Here they are. Priest. The priest represented man before God. He interceded for man before God. There was the prophet. He represented God before man. He spoke to man on God's behalf.
Yeah.
The majority of the Old Testament was written by men called prophets. Moses was called a prophet. And most of the Bibles were written by men called prophets. And when God had a message for man, he sent a prophet to speak. And he primarily spoke to, are you ready for this? The king. Then there was the king who was the ruler or executor of God's will over the people. And the reason I'm going to make some of you angry today is because I'm going to mix politics and religion. Now, the first rule of homiletics and the first rule that a school will tell you is do not do that. And people have told me all the time, I don't believe in mixing religion and politics. Well, I tell you what, it would have been a good idea for somebody to tell John the Baptist that.
Yeah.
Because it was not preaching, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that cost him his head.
Yeah.
It was going to the king as the role of a prophet and saying, Herod,
yeah.
It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
Yeah.
Now he was willing to put up with it because he was fascinated by John, but that woman he was married to was not willing to do it and it cost him his head. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I'm not buying that argument. God told Ezekiel, I've called you to be a watchman upon the wall.
Yes.
For what purpose? To warn my people.
Yeah. Amen.
He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6, I have made you a tower and a fortress of my people to test them. And then the next verse he said this, because they are reprobates. Son, whenever things get hot and heavy, I want you to know something. There's always somewhere to run. Now, you read the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to tell you what it says in more than one place about what happens when the wicked rule. Let me tell you what it says. They hide. Read it yourself. And we live in what I call a stork dispensation. Christian people, rather than understanding and reading the Word of God and reading the signs of the times, has buried their heads in the sand because if I ignore it, it will go away. Huh? When the Continental Congress met, the states would not ratify the Constitution because they said it gave too much power to the federal government. And so James Madison authored the Bill of Rights, which first initially consisted of 10 amendments to the Constitution that gave the states more authority and more liberty to rule over themselves, to keep a central government from ruling over them. For they just ran from a church that ruled over them, the Anglican Church, and they ran from a king, a government that wanted to rule over them. And so when they came here and they decided to establish a government, and by the way, it started on the Mayflower as they came over, they wrote the Mayflower Compact. I carry it in my Bible. And they said, we're going to set up a government that not only glorifies God, but it is a government that will be good for the freedoms of the people there. And based upon that and the Magna Carta, our Constitution was written to give men liberties to live their lives.
Right. Yes.
Now, we live in an age of equality.
Yeah.
We are looking for economic equality. A burger flipper should make $50 an hour just like an engineer or somebody.
Yeah.
Economic equality. All kinds of equality. Our Declaration of Independence says that we believe that we were endowed with our Creator with certain rights and that we were all created equal. But now, in what sense did they mean that? Are we really all created equal? Do we all have the same amount of money in the bank account? Do we all have the same gifts and talents? Of course not, we don't.
That's right.
Huh?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Our nation has a checkered past. There's good and there's bad, just like every other nation that has ever existed. One of the worst things that we ever experienced, and it was a nationwide problem, not an American problem, it was the slave issue. So, whenever it was dealt with in the 1800s, the states ratified amendments. Amendment number 13. What the 13th Amendment says, the slaves will be freed and slavery will be abolished in America, and that's a good thing. Somebody asked for me to look for a book by an old preacher in the 1800s, and I looked and looked, tried to find it on the internet. I finally found some excerpts from it. And you know what that old preacher was writing about, and he was living in the day? He saw the Civil War coming. And I'm going to say this, you do what you want to with it. Here's what he said. We were fighting together to abolish slavery, to prevent the Civil War from happening. They could see it coming, the preachers. And it was the preachers and the Republican Party that was trying to end this issue without Civil War. Hey, do with that what you want. I don't care. That's what I read. And I'm going to believe him. 13th Amendment. People said, you're right, we're doing away with this issue, and it set the slave free. 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, which came 2 years later, gave those freed slaves the right to citizenship in America because they were born here. They had the right to citizenship, and we would all say, that's a good thing. That's a good correction to a long-time error of mankind that was corrected. And then the 15th Amendment came that gave them the right to vote. And by the way, you ladies too. So, hallelujah. But I guess it was a good idea. That's right. Amen. So they had the right to vote. Amen.
Yeah.
But sadly today, the 14th Amendment, which gave the slaves equal representation under the law, has become a get out of jail free for our leaders. In that it guarantees equal liberty and freedom under the law and representation for whatever man decides it to be about. And so the only basis that the Supreme Court could find in order to make gay marriage lawful was the 14th Amendment. Now I want to tell you something. I know you say I'm ignorant, I'm a dummy, but let me tell you something. I read the opinion of Justice James Kennedy, the entire thing. I read the dissenting opinions of Justice Roberts and Justice Scalia. So I know what was said, and I know what was in it. And in the long diatribe of Justice James Kennedy, you know how much it was addressed toward the people of faith? One sentence. It said that people who are religious and people of faith who oppose this issue, here it is, they have the First Amendment to protect them. That's it. Well, now let me ask you this. How's that working out for the people of God? We already know that if somebody comes in and you're a baker and says, I want you to bake a cake for a certain wedding, you say, you know what, I'm a Christian and that's against my principles and beliefs and behavior. I'd really rather not do that. You're sued, you're put out of business. How's the First Amendment helping you there? You're a photographer, you're asked to go photograph a certain wedding, you say, that's against my principles and beliefs. I don't want to do that. You're sued, you're put out of business. How's the First Amendment working for that? And so the move of this, you see, I see the bigger picture. And whether you're aware of it or not, church, there's a great shadow of a dragon over the church today. And many people will not wake up until the fire comes out of his mouth and burns the hair off of their head. And I'm going to tell you why. Preachers are not preaching.
That's it.
For the goal of all of it, from the beginning, has been to isolate God within the walls of this church. Y'all get in there, you dance, you shout, you have your good time, you do whatever you want to do, but you be sure you keep that God that you worship in the walls. Now that's number one, and that's working because, like I said, if you practice your Christian faith in your business, you will be sued, you will be fined, you will be put out of business. Or don't you read any headlines? I read them But I read them in light of what I read in here first. And this, I'm going to get to preaching on this in just a minute, but I'm laying the groundwork for what I'm going to preach on today. And I'm going to preach to you, and I've got to do it quickly, on what I call strange things. Luke chapter 5, there was a man with a palsy. Jesus was in a house. They were trying to get the man to him, couldn't do it. They went up there and pulled the roof off of that place, and they lowered that man down in there where Jesus was. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Well, now that ain't why they let him down through the roof, was it? But he knew who was the crowd that was listening, amen. They said, "Wait a minute, there can't nobody say that but God." Jesus said, "Well, let me ask you what would be easier to say or to prove. Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk." Anybody could say, "Well, your sins," a priest do it every day in the Catholic Church, "your sins are forgiven you." That's easy to say. "Son, you better be sure where those sins went." But it's a whole lot harder in man's eyes to tell somebody who has a palsy, "Rise up and walk." And he said this, "So that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on earth." He looked at the man and he said, "Son, rise up, take your couch and go to your house." Amen. And that man got up and he did it. And here's the response of the people. Great fear fell upon them and they said this, "We have seen strange things today."
Yeah.
Hosea chapter number 8, we're going to read one verse. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 12. Now, Hosea was a man, and God does this many times. God will put a prophet in a circumstance so that he will fully appreciate and understand the heart of God. And he told Hosea in the first chapter of this book, he said, "I want you to go marry an adulteress." And I want to tell you, that's not the best move you can make in life. But God said, "I want you to know what it is like for somebody to commit adultery on you because my people have committed adultery on me." And he said, "I want you to have some children by that lady. One of them I want you to name Lo-Ruhamah, a daughter," and that word means no mercy. And then, after she was weaned, they had a son. He said, "Name him Ammi," which means not my people. Now, son, that's the worst thing you can hear from the mouth of God. You are not my people. Verse 12, chapter 8. I have written to him, Israel and Ephraim, that was the greatest tribe of the northern kingdom, "I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." Amen.
Amen, brother.
The laws of our nation were established and founded upon laws that God had given. Amen.
Right. Amen.
We have received the law of God, and if not through our forefathers in government, at least through the words of the God that they worshiped. So you can say, friends, we are very well aware of the laws of God. Now, what he's talking about here specifically is the Ten Commandments. That's the great things of the law of God. And he said, "I gave them to you as a nation, but you counted them as a strange thing." Now that word "strange" means for an individual to turn in order to take up lodging in a different place. So what that expression means is that it was so strange to them that they turned away from it and didn't want to have anything to do with it. Amen. Huh? Now, there's a word there in that verse that you should circle, because I want you to notice something about this strange law. First of all, it was divine law. Look what he said in the middle of that verse. I've written to him the great things of... Wait a minute. Whose law?
My
law. Now, I've studied, I've read the history of a certain alternate lifestyle. I'm not even going to use the word. And the history of it, and it's not hard to find or to study. Amen. And I have found out that at first in the Greek society, where it became first prevalent, it was shunned. But later in the empire, as it began to be more embraced, the attributes of man, they began to apply to their God. Did you know that Zeus had a boy lover? Did you know that our great hero Hercules had a boy lover? I could go on and on. What I'm trying to tell you is, when people become reprobate, they want to ascribe to their God, not His nature to them, but their nature to Him. Now, after this was past Friday, I watched the news that night, the local news. Now, here's the thing about it. I always tell people, Bonifay is wrapped in bubble wrap. They have no idea what's coming, what's going. Now, I'm not trying to tell you you're ignorant. You live a good lifestyle in a good place, and I like it, and that's why I left the Mississippi Gulf Coast, to get away from it. But I want to tell you something, friends. It's here, whether you know it or not. It is here. It is on your head. Huh? And so as I watched the news, there was a man on there, and of course they were waving their rainbow flags. I'm not critical. Listen, those are people that need Christ. But if they're going to have Christ, they're going to come the same way that all of us did. The way that God said for us to come. And He said, God created all men equal, and I'm so glad that He did. Well, we already bumped on that a little bit. And He said, I love the Lord just as much as anybody else. Now, I would love to have an interrogation with that man. Because, you see, here's what he's saying. My desires and my character is parallel with the character of God. Because he used this expression, listen, God created us all in His image. Now, first let me correct that. God created one man in His image, and his name was Adam. And it was not long, I don't know if it was hours or days, but I promise you it was not long, man lost that image, and he took upon him a satanic image. And he will bear that image all of his days until he takes upon him again the image of Christ.
Amen.
You want to talk about predestination in Romans 8? People say, oh, God chose some people to be saved, some chose to be not. That's God's business. I ain't worrying about it. But here's what he said about predestination there. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ.
That's what he said. Amen.
But instead, we're trying to conform the image of God to ourselves. And I want you to know that the law of God is a divine law. It's not human law. And so, you know what we can do? We're a democracy. We're a republic. We can just do whatever we want. Now, here's where the problem comes in that goes along with what I'm talking about. There are 9 Supreme Court justices. And by the way, 2 of them are there because of us. If we'd have got up and voted like we should have, son, that never would have happened. I've got dear friends that say, well, I don't go vote because my vote don't count. Well, you know what? Yours by itself may not, but what if 1 million people have the same opinion you have?
Yeah. Right.
Now, I ain't telling you who to vote for in this pulpit. You come outside, I will. I'm not afraid. Because you have a government, son, that is coming after you. The preacher and I were talking in the church Wednesday night, and he said, you know, I've never seen a more beautiful building. And I said, preacher, you know what? I agree with you. This is a beautiful building God's blessed us with. But I want to tell you something, friends. There's somebody out there that is just waiting for an opportunity for us to drop the keys to that new building in their hands. Now, the first goal of this movement was to isolate God within the walls of this church. do not let him out. The second is for them then to come into the church and infiltrate it in order to catch us violating, because you see, the thing about it is now, this is the law of the land. Now, you think that that's not true? Then you just look at Canada. You look at Ireland. One man over there, 73 years old, been preaching all of his life, made a comment the government didn't like, and they said, we are going to prosecute you, and we are going to imprison you. You see, the bubble wrap insulates us from that. Well, you know, that couldn't happen in Boniface. Stick your head back in the sand. God called John Bunyan to preach. He stood before a judge, and the reason he was before the judge is because he refused to receive a license from the church to preach. He said, if anybody gives me a license to preach from the government, he said, then they're eventually going to tell me what to preach.
Amen,
and he went to prison. He went to prison for years simply for not allowing the government to give him a license to preach. While he was in there, he wrote a little book called Pilgrim's Progress. Oh, preacher, that can't happen to us. Son, it's at your door.
Yes, right. Go in.
I like what that sister said. She said, we got to fight. We've got to fight. We fight a spiritual warfare.
Right.
You don't know. I tell the prisoners all the time, I was born an adulterer and I was born a murderer. And except for the hand of God and the grace of God, that's what I'd be doing. And behind me in the road would be a string of dead bodies. Because I'd killed me some people. Amen. But then I read a little verse that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He'd do a much better job than what I could do. It's God's law. But it became a despised law. Amos chapter 2, verse 4, God said, you despised my law. You look up that word despise in the Hebrew, and you know what it's going to tell you? It means to decay. You let my law rot in your presence. That's what it means. Amen. And finally, they destroyed the law. And so what we do is that we take God and we say, well, you know what? God loves me. And God does. That's the wonderful part of the gospel. He loved you so much that Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. Amen.
Amen.
But nowhere do we have the right to attribute to Him our characteristics or our law. Now, I'm going to explain something to you right quick. Every lost person that dies and leaves this world without Christ is going to be judged by the law of God. Every saved child of God that leaves this world is going to be judged according to the righteousness of Christ. Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad to get off of that hook. Amen. Yes! And we'll be judged by our works, amen, not for punishment or rejection, but for reward. Amen. Now, the New Testament says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says that the law reveals the demanded righteousness of God. Now, when he says by the law is the knowledge of sin, it's telling us that if you broke any law that God has ever prescribed at any time in your life, you now have a label on you, and that label is sinner. And you are condemned before a holy God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute now. Whose law was this? His law. And by His law is the knowledge of sin. And so man has understood the difference between right and wrong for centuries by what God defined as being right and wrong.
Amen.
Not by what man says.
Right. Amen.
President Obama boasted a few months ago when he came into office, only two states where you could get married to somebody that was alternated. Now there are 37. What a boastful thing. But now there's 50 today. Huh?
Keep going on it, bro.
Now I'm going to tell you something. I prayed for years. By the way, I have preached 40 years that this day is coming. You can ask my wife.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I had two messages prepared to preach if the preacher called on me to preach. Friday, God impressed this on me. My wife and my son will testify to it. I told them in the door of my kitchen, God has given me a message. And I gave them the points of this message. I'm not covering them all, but I'll tell you what they are before I quit. And so that's why I had to preach what I preached today, because God burned it in my heart.
Amen.
That God's people had better repent for their nation, because it's not going to repent on its own behalf. Rather than that, they're coming to get us. Get ready! And I don't have any doubt in my mind that if what I've been preaching for 40 years has come to pass, that what I'm saying to you this morning, based upon what God says, is going to come to pass too. I want to tell you something, son. God knows how to thin the herd. God told Gideon, I'm going to defeat the Midianites at your hand. Go get you a gang up. He went and got 10,000. God said, wait a minute, you got too many of the kind you got. We've got to thin this herd out, son. He wound up with 300. You think God's not going to thin this herd? Things crack out, amen. Here's what's going to happen. People of God are going to get closer to God. Them that ain't real, son, they're going to run. Or else they will become our enemy. Now, I told you that one of the ordained called roles of the Old Testament was the prophet. I also have prayed for years that God would send us a prophet, and I have prayed it in this church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I believe God sent us one.
Amen.
And I'm going to share you his name. It's Franklin Graham, a man that I never thought would have filled the role that he's filling. His daddy was an evangelist, and he never said anything about the sins of people. When called upon by Anita Bryant to help her stand against the alternate crowd in this very state, he refused because he was an evangelist. And I respect that, and he was one of the greatest evangelists this nation's ever had. Don't deny it and don't take nothing away from him. But his son is not an evangelist. He is a prophet. And just this week, he said that President Obama is leading this nation in a direction toward hell, and God is going to judge him for that. Now, whose words does that sound like in the Old Testament?
Yes, sir. Yes.
It sounds like the words of a prophet.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, that book's about Israel. That ain't about us. Oh, really? Well, now let's talk to Jonah about that. God came to Jonah one day and said, I want you to go preach to the great city Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. By the way, a city that Nimrod built. And he said, I want you, listen to the words, to cry against it. You know that Jonah ran. Finally, when he went, he preached a little short message, yet 40 days, and God will destroy great Nineveh. Went up on the mountain to watch God do it. But they repented. Now, what was the order of repentance? From the king on down.
Yep. Exactly.
Now, I want to tell you something. Well, you say that's the end of the story. No, that ain't the end of the story. 150 years later, Nineveh sunk back into its sin. And God sent another prophet, and his name was Nahum. The preacher just quoted it from him, does often. And he went back to Nineveh, Nahum did, and you know what he said? He said, thus saith the Lord, I am against thee.
That's it right there. It's going on there, brother. Mm.
And the rest of that book is about how God was going to bring great Nineveh down in destruction. Oh, but preacher, that's not going to happen to us. Son, I want to tell you something. Franklin Graham is warning this nation. He said, this is not the end of the issue. This is only the beginning. It's going to bring persecution upon the church. I believe what he says. I believe the book would back that up. And he said, it is going to cause thousands of litigation of cases in the courts over religious freedom. Churches are going to be sued. I've got news for you people. Anybody can be sued. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, and if somebody sues you, you better show up, or the judge is going to rule in your opponent's favor. You got to show up. This alternate type of marriage is now the law of the United States of America, and when you refuse it, you are violating that law. Now, what was the basis of Judge Kennedy's ruling in the Fourth Amendment? Can I share it with you? Nothing. You know how many times the word marriage is mentioned in the Constitution and the amendments? Zero. Because marriage has never been a federal issue in this nation. It's been a state issue. And nothing was ever said about marriage, about who could get married. You know why? It was assumed that marriage consisted of a man and a woman.
Amen. Right.
I hear people boast. First thing they say is, oh, you and your Bible, that's a book written by men. Okay. Let's assume that this Bible was written by men. There's one little part that the Bible says was written by the finger of God. Will you just take that little portion that was written by the finger of God and accept it? You see, friends, here's what comes down to this very day. Whether or not we believe what God says is right and what God says is wrong, and no matter what the government says or what a judge says.
Amen, brother.
Now, I ain't going to get violent. I'm going to go home tonight. I got to tell you, this broke my heart. It just broke my heart because I love my country.
Yes.
Broke my heart because I'm a stranger in a strange land. When I was a child, I rode my bicycle all over the city of Gulfport. Never had to worry about any violence, any predators coming after me. I mean, it was a time of liberty in America. Can't do that no more. That's a big boy over here, and he can take care of himself. But when he was little, I watched over him. He never got out of my sight, except a couple of times. And boy, I had to deal with that. But nevertheless, that's not the America we live in anymore. We live in a strange land. For years, I-10 ended in Goshen, Mississippi. You had to get off and go down to Highway 90 and go all the way to the Alabama line on Highway 90 to get back on the interstate to get to Florida over here. That's the way it was when I first came to Gracieville. You know why? There was a bird out there called the Sandhill Crane. And bless your heart, we can't mess with the Sandhill Crane. That's where they live. And for years, the construction was held up because of that little bird. But at the same time, America, because of a black robe judge, and I'm glad they wear blacks, what they deserve, said that the life of an unborn baby doesn't mean nothing. What's more important is the life of that mama. We live in a strange land. Bless that poor little bird, but that baby, that's we got plenty of babies. We can spare that baby. Huh? I got to quit. Hosea chapter 5. Now, when you possess a strange law, or you make it strange to you, here's what happens. You beget a strange litter. Hosea chapter 5, verse number 7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. That's his judgment. You see, they worshiped these other gods on new moons as they attributed it to God. The Jewish calendar, by the way, based on a full moon, and their worship consisted around that. He said, rather than worshiping and eating in the next full moon, I'm going to take them down. That's what he said there. Why? He said, because they have begotten strange children. Huh? Amen.
Right.
When you destroy the foundation of law, of social order, and just make it whatever you want it to be, then son, you cannot help but produce a bunch of strange youngins.
That's right.
Exactly. Nikita Khrushchev understood that when he said, he took his shoe off and beat on the table at the United Nations, and he said, give me one generation. He said, I'll bury America with a spoon. He didn't have to. We've done it ourselves. Because we've raised a generation of young people that have been taught in school. There is no God. You are the product of chance in a mud hole in a monkey man. And that's the truth. And we wonder why they don't mind going in churches and schools and pulling out a weapon and pow, 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 killing people. That's what they've been taught. And we got a bunch of strange children today, amen, because of it. Don't think it's not being taught in your schools right here either, because it is. Why do you think we have something called Common Core? So that the government can control education and control your children. California's going through the greatest drought it's had in years. They even get mad at Hollywood because them Hollywood stars is watering their lawns and they ain't got the water to drink. I say, good. Go ahead, worship that crowd.
Yeah.
But they're trying to pass it in the school system out there where that they begin teaching little children in kindergarten about transgenderism. Son, my heart's broken. We're producing a generation of strange children.
Yes, sir, brother.
Now, I know that Christian schools have a function. I've never been fully for it because I believe that children need to be taught how to exist in a world that's going to oppose them at some point in life. But the only way they can do that is for us to give them a foundation. Now, I want to tell you something. You look, if you love that little child that's behind you or else back in there in the playroom, you need to understand something. The world is trying to take that child from you. And the first thing it's going to do is take their brain. Now, here's the problem. We have a group of people today that are known as progressives. Hillary Clinton is one. James Kennedy, Sotomayor, Eleanor Kayle, all that five that voted for this are all what is called progressives. Now, what does a progressive believe? They believe that the Constitution is an evolving document that can change as society changes. Well, now, if that's true, why do we need a Constitution? Just let society change and let everything go. Why pass a law just to confirm it? Amen.
Right.
Well, they've got to because they know that somebody's going to oppose it like Donnie Murphy.
Yeah. Amen.
By the way, I just wrote a letter to Tylenol. I don't know if you've seen their commercial.
Yes.
Told them what I felt about it. I said, first word in my letter was this. Goodbye. I said, I do not know why a company as large as yours, Johnson & Johnson, cannot just sell your product to everybody and be happy with the money that you're getting. But no, because you're a giant, you think you can push an agenda upon the American people. Final word, goodbye. I got a response the other day. It was a robo-response. You probably don't know what that is, but it means everybody gets one. And it said, we are glad to receive your email. We'll get back to you. You know what they're going to say when they get back to me? They're not going to get back to me. Well, what good did it do, preacher? I'll tell you what good it did. I felt better. And I don't know where I'll buy my aspirin or who I'll get it from, but I can tell you who I won't get it from. I hadn't bought as much as a t-shirt or a handkerchief from JCPenney for years. You see, friend, I ain't got to pull a sword, a physical sword or gun out of my pocket to fight this garbage. There's a lot of ways we can do it. And the people of God are not doing it, and that's why we should be repenting as a people of God.
Amen, brother.
The prophet, that's what I call him, Franklin Graham said, "Where are the Christians? Why are they not crying aloud because of what's happening to our land?" I'll tell you why. They don't think it's coming to their house. Now, it's coming to our house, and I'm going to tell you how it's coming. It's going to come overnight. You are going to go to bed one night, living in one state and one state of mind, and you're going to wake up in a totally different one. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I shared with the prisoners Tuesday night. You can agree or you can disagree. But at this point in time, the book of Revelation, from Revelation 16 through 18, talks about Mystery Babylon. Now, listen, I want to tell you something. Babylon does not exist like it once did. It's gone. It was destroyed for its ways. But it talks about Mystery Babylon. What's it talking about? Secret Babylon. It's Babylon, but it doesn't profess to be Babylon.
That's it, brother. Tell it. Yeah, that.
And it talks about spiritual Babylon, a scarlet woman riding upon a beast. But then it also talks about commercial Babylon, the great city Babylon. Now, there's only one city on the face of this earth that fits the description of the Bible of commercial Babylon. And here's the name of that city, New York. It talks about the merchants who sold their goods there. Where's Wall Street located? They're on their ships out there with their goods and they can't bring them in. Why? Because the city is burning with fire. If you want to destroy this land in the way it is today and usher in a dictatorship and anarchy like you've never seen it before, you let ISIS float one nuclear weapon up the East River. And you set that thing off right there. New York City will burn. It will be radioactive for 1,000 years. And the economy of America, it don't matter how many missiles you've got. It doesn't matter how many weapons you've got. Son, when the economy goes, you're gone. It says that they're weeping and they're saying, "Woe, for in 1 hour such great riches has come to naught." Now, 40 years I've preached what was coming Friday was going to come, and it came. And friends, I may be wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe what I'm telling you today.
Yes, sir.
So here's my message to the church. We need to repent for our nation.
Amen.
We need to say, "God, we're a sinful nation. And if you don't have mercy on us," and the only reason he does, friends, because of the gospel light that's gone from this land. But God's setting that back up for the Jew. You wait, son, it's coming. You can see it right now. ISIS has established their caliphate. Why haven't they taken Israel? Huh? Because God's restraining hand is right there. That's it, son. And it's been for all of us for decades and centuries. But the Bible says there's going to come a time when God's going to remove that restraining hand, and all hell's going to break loose on planet Earth. My message is, get ready. Strange law produces a strange litter that produces a strange lord that produces a strange land that produces a strange lesson. And here's the points of my lesson.
Number one, God never changes. What God despised 4,000 years ago and called an abomination, He calls it today.
Amen.
Number two, strange God to this world, God never lies. If God has punished sin in the past and nations in the past when they became so corrupt, He will destroy America according to His purpose. You know what I saw on the news this morning? In Greece, people were flocking to ATM machines to get their money out because the economy is about to collapse in Greece. Did you know that Greece once ruled the world under a man known as Alexander the Great? See, nobody ever thinks it can happen to them, but it can. And we have the greatest army in the world and the greatest patriots in the world, but they cannot protect us from God when He declares, "I am against you." God never changes. God never lies. Ready for the last point? God never goes away. He's eternal. And people think if we can just ignore God, it'll be all right. You know, He'll go away after a while if we just ignore Him. Oh, no. If there's anybody who is an attention getter, it's God. Huh? And sometimes He's ridiculous in it. You know what He told His prophet Ezekiel? He said, "Ezekiel, I want you to go out there and get you a frying pan. And I want you to get out in the middle of town and I want you to sit down and I want you to preach to that frying pan." Now Ezekiel did it. You wonder why he did it. Here's what God said. "Because I want you to understand something. These people are not going to listen to what you've got to say any more than that frying pan is." Huh? Guess what? I'm a moron. I'm an uneducated baboon to people. I don't know anything. And so I'm not going to pay any attention to that old man. You know, he's just crazy. Well, when it happens, I thought I'd be dead and gone, but I thought I'd be dead and gone before Friday. And I'm not. But when it happens, dig this message out and listen to it. Because I'm telling you, friends, if we don't experience repentance in this nation, then it's a coming. Because we have become a nation of reprobates. Now, what is a reprobate in the Bible? It is somebody who is worthless to God, who is rejected by God, and thus is thrown away by God. The Bible terms it this way: "Inasmuch as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate, rejected, castaway, worthless mind." And when you are turned over to a reprobate mind, let me tell you the consequence of it. You will never, ever change. Now, if I thought for one minute that I could go to somebody of that alternate lifestyle and reason with them with the Scriptures and them to give their heart to Christ, I'd do it. But I'm telling you, the majority of reprobates, they're not going to listen to you. Rather than that, they'll hurt you. Huh? Son, it's done. We've crossed the line. Now for a preacher. Now, wait a minute. Jesus never preached about that stuff. You know what? As far as I can recall, He never run across one. He run across just about everybody. But you know what? He never run across one. But He did say this when people questioned Him about levirate marriage. He said, "Have you not read that them that created them in the beginning created them male
and female. How? What a revelation. What a revelation. Now, you see, he created a male and female. Therefore, let a man leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they will obey the command of God, which was, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, one of the points that Judge Kennedy, I'm going to shut up, made in his opinion was this. If we do not legalize this, then it will ostracize the children of these alternate families. My question was this, Judge, how many have they produced? Let's see. Oh, that's right, they ain't produced any. Unless they're like Bruce Jenner, they live 60 years of their life, and all of a sudden they said, you know what? I have discovered I'm a woman. I told the prisoners, I said, son, just look down. You'll figure out what you are. It ain't hard. But I don't want to be what God made me. Well, isn't that the nature of man as a sinner? He does not want to be what God made me. I hope I haven't made anybody angry because I'm very serious in what I say. Friends, we are approaching the time when God says, I am against you. What can we do, preacher? I'll tell you what we can do as the people of God. We can fall on our face before God. Our altars are not here right now, but we can still join our hearts together. And we can say, God, turn your people. We can be like Jeremiah. We can say, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I could weep day and night for the hurt, sin of the daughters of my people. Because unless we have another awakening in America, we've had three, unless we have one, America is soon to be history and consumed by the government of Antichrist. And I want to be gone. Amen. Now, if you've never given your life to Christ, you ought to do it right now while you've got a chance. Because the world is getting more grip upon you and pulling you the other way every day. If you've got a heart to understand the gospel, friend, you need to respond right now. Right now. If you're a child of God, if you're a member of this church, now I usually preach this stuff on Wednesday night, but most of us ain't here Wednesday night, so we've dealt with it today. And don't hold anything I said against Brother Ike. He called me Saturday after God had already burnt these points in my heart and said, Brother Donnie, I'd like for you to preach tomorrow. I said, Preacher, you sure? He said, yes. And so here I am. And I hope that I said something. And believe me, I've got so much more that I could share with you. Number one, listen, inform yourself. You don't have to have a degree like Miss Hope back there to inform yourself. That's from smart girls back there. Amen. But look, I can read, thank God. May not have to read well, but I can educate myself about what's going on in this world today. Amen. Amen. And you will not win a debate with this world on the Bible. They're not going to listen to it. You're going to have to defeat them on their own points. And to understand their mission and their goal, you've got to grab hold of it in order to face them with it. Because, friend, I'm telling you for the last time. Well, probably not that door. It's going to be that door in there. They're going to come in one day. And they're going to come in with a plan. Preacher's already touched it. And they're going to come up and they're going to say, Brother Ike, me and my partner here, Caitlin, what's his name? Huh? I know the last name. I tried to get the first one. We'd like for you to marry us, okay? And Brother Ike will say what he just said a while ago. And I had every confidence that he would, or I'd been gone a long time ago. And they're going to say, okay. The next word he hears about the issue will come from the ACLU. And the people for the American way. And Brother Ike will be summoned to court. And he will be informed that he has just violated the civil rights of this couple. You are an entity that exists because we allow you to exist. And the first step will be to remove the tax exemption from the church, which I don't think they never should have had anyway. You know the problem with our schools? We let the federal government in the door the first time. And tax exemption is just a way for the government to get into your church. And son, I didn't care if it do take it away. I'd rather pay the taxes. I had a deacon get mad at me one time, leave the church, and said, "You can't afford to keep this church open without me putting my money in." I said, "Well, why don't you just try me?" I said, "I put enough in this church to more than pay the light bill." I said, "What else is there?" Light bill. You see how people think? We need to repent, people.
Yes,
we need to repent for our nation.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you why. Nobody else is going to do it.
Now,
we're God's people right here in this place. There are many other churches in Holmes County. I can't say anything about them except they're empty and very quick. There are a few elderly people that are just keeping the lights on in those places. I want to tell you, every one of us in this county ought to be repenting for our nation and saying, "God, we know that we just crossed a very bright red line. And God, if you don't do something, our nation is lost. And as a result, our children will be lost. God help us. We repent." Amen. Go ahead, preach.